welcome to Show Me Your Mic, a podcast where I talk to other podcasts about their podcasts. I'm your host, Chris Enns. You can find Show Me Your Mic at goodstuff.fm/SMYM or on Twitter at SMYM_FM. For this episode, I've got Carrie Halstead of I Guess We're Grownups Now, a podcast hosted here on goodstuff.fm. We talk about pitching a show to a network like Good Stuff, recording a pilot, thoughts on women who podcast, and just growing up as a podcaster. My thanks to Campaign Monitor for sponsoring this episode of Show Me Your Mic. More about them a little later on. I'd also invite you to check out my Patreon page, patreon.com/iChris, where you can support me along with a bunch of other folks who are already doing so in my efforts at being a professional podcaster of sorts. All right, enjoy the show. So have you recovered from the Good Stuff Hangout meetup Friday night?
I have. I mean, there's still a afterglow thing happening. It was a good time. Afterglow, aftertaste.
Yeah.
No, I had a very fun time.
Yeah, it was good to connect with some folks in real life.
Yes.
Who are listeners of Good Stuff. Mm-hmm. But there's nobody, I don't think, that outright said they listened to this show. So maybe, which I'm not like deeply hurt by, I understand it's a particular niche area of interest, but good to put some faces to ears or something. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Which is we don't have a lot of experience with it, so we shouldn't start talking about it right now, but it's an interesting discussion to have for podcasts about the idea of getting out of the basement, so to speak, and going into the real world with your listeners. And obviously, being what it is, it's hard to do when you have a worldwide audience potentially, and maybe just two people in one city and one person over here. But
and we don't live in a particularly big city either.
No, exactly. So yeah, when we say meetup, it was 10, 11 people.
Yep.
I think something like that. So yep. So yeah, it's not like this huge big packed out pub or something that we were hanging out at, but two packed out tables.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, but the reason you're here is not to talk about meetups. You're here because you do a podcast here on Good Stuff.
A little bit
of cross promotion. I wanted to have you on this show, well, since you started, but I wanted to make sure that you were, you know, got your past episode 5. I don't know. sort of the unofficial rule of, not that I didn't think you would, but we talk about podcasting a lot anyway. So it just seemed natural to have you on the show, but then, yeah.
Well, I think it's kind of a feather in my cap, a notch on my bedpost to, like, if you'll excuse the metaphor, to be on the show. I guess I'm a podcaster now. Hey, you see what I did that?
Did I say your name in your show? You can say it now if you want.
The show is called I Guess We're Grownups Now.
Yeah, and your byline or whatever, I don't know what that was the official word, byline? Something. I get a podcast about that. Start that again. Take two. A podcast about being the kind of grown-ups we want to be. The answers are better than the questions. I like that last part. That's really good.
Thanks. That was a line from a show when one of my guests said, I don't know, did I answer your question? I feel like I'm not answering your question. And I said, don't worry. Like, the answers are better than the questions. It doesn't matter what my original question was because people just talk about whatever they wanted to talk about. Mm-hmm. You know, wherever their brain takes them with the question's just the trigger. I don't care if they answered or not.
Yeah.
Did that answer your question?
No, that's good. That's better than what I was asking. So.
Exactly.
And you've covered, like, it's a wide variety of folks. Obviously, it's sort of like an interview show with minimal interview and more discussion, right? Would be the...
Yeah, I would call it a conversation show. We start with a topic usually, although not always. Some of the conversations have started just with getting to know the person. All of the people so far are people I've known either from real life or from Twitter.
Where else would you know someone from?
Well, right. Well, no, but you interview people who you don't really, right. Yeah. You've never met, even on Twitter really before. You search out podcasters. I kind of like to at least know that the person I'm talking to is at some point on their curve of adulthood. Do you know what I mean? Like, it makes it a little tricky for booking guests for me because I need to have a theme and I need to be sure that the person I'm talking to will approach it from a grown-up perspective, at least have some sort of adult insight into the topic. So I need to know them a little bit on a personal level, whether they're the kind of person who shares that kind of information about themselves on Twitter or whether I know them personally.
Yeah. Yeah, because you do, like, you do sort of guide the discussion with a sort of general premise anyways, but and obviously things go wherever they go from there. But it is an interesting idea to try because it's hard. A typical approach in podcasting is probably just you and a buddy, friend, whatever, you might, like, some of the topics you're talking about, like food, retiring before you die, that's the name of the title, I can't remember the total topic throughout the whole show, divorce, IUDs, being a rock star, you know, civic politics. So it's not like, I forget where I was going now, I'm just thinking of these shows that I listened to before, but it's not like you could just pick those topics with a friend and just talk about them, and each episode would be the same two people or three people or whatever. But bringing on a guest each time is a unique challenge for you in preparing for that show. So how have you sort of focused on, or what processes have you developed to prepare for a show like that?
So I would say that that is the hardest part, is lining those three things up. Having the person and the topic and making sure that the theme is adhered to, the theme of adulthood and all the things I covered in my pilot episode, talking about, you know, adulthood is a journey, not a destination. And yeah, there are lots of themes, but sort of the repeated patterns that we talk about. So getting somebody who's willing to talk about those things on the air is tricky. I've had a couple people turn me down. You know, I'd ask them, you know, can you talk about X on the show? Do you want to talk about X? And sometimes they want to, but I don't think they feel...
like they're the smart enough or the expert enough or whatever to speak?
No, I think it's very personal in some cases. I mean, if I'm asking them about depression or unemployment or... like, I think there's ramifications beyond... just the conversation on the podcast that they don't want spilling out into the real world. Like, right. I was actually really surprised that Sheena wanted to talk about her divorce. And having had the discussion with her, it's obvious that she is completely open about that. And that so are her ex and her current partner.
Interesting relationship.
Yeah, totally. I mean, they made an album about it. But going into it, I was kind of surprised. That was like my second episode, that not including the pilot. But I was pretty surprised somebody wanted to come on and talk about that right away. Mm-hmm. So far, the really good ones have just sort of landed in my lap. You kind of ask somebody, hope they say yes. If they don't, okay, you move on. But that is definitely harder than coming up with the list of questions to talk about on the show. Like, once you've got the right person and the right topic, the show writes itself. Mm-hmm. And you can fill it with, it's never a problem filling 45 to 60 minutes of conversation.
Right. Cause I think the idea, like you said, of having somebody who you don't know, like, you know of, or you know somewhat, but you've never, you know, I think with all of them, you would know better. I don't know why I would try and tell you, but with most of them, you haven't ever really had an hour long conversation. Maybe Todd Peters, I guess, would be, he was a real life friend or whatever.
Yeah, that's right. Most of them I haven't had extended conversations with. They're sort of internet acquaintances, I would guess I would call them. You don't know exactly. You sort of just put your trust in the podcast gods and hope it goes well. And so far I haven't had one that I've had to throw in the garbage. I mean, people are great. People are interesting. I mean, it's awesome getting to know people through it and having these very interesting conversations.
Yeah. Which is what I found with this show too, is like, there's the fear when you first start of like, holy crap, what am I going to talk to a complete stranger about? Right. But as long as the basic premise of them able to communicate is met, and, you know, and dialogue is met, that basic premise, then in some ways it can be easier to have a complete or relative stranger on, because there's so many things that are open to talk about.
Right. Whereas I don't think I will ever have my sister on, partly because we use a lot of verbal shorthand with each other because we know each other so well, but also because it would get so personal so fast. And I don't think we could air that. So the person you know at sort of arm's length is probably easier to get super honest with, mm-hmm. at the right level of honesty.
Yeah, because that's the other sort of, like with this show, the premise I have built into it, and know that a podcaster is coming on who is comfortable sharing whatever they've talked about on their show. They're familiar with the idea that random people will listen and or give them feedback, good or bad. Whereas you're, in a sense, with some of the folks, or most of the folks possibly, trying to convince someone to do a podcast, first of all, and that, yeah, and then be open enough to share these, you know, fairly personal, at times quite personal, stories and anecdotes and just life experiences. And is there any wisdom, tips, or whatever, as far as that, just that process, or have people been fairly receptive to the idea of coming on? I guess you said you had one sort of back away.
Yeah. Well, and I've had lots of people say that they would never do it. And I respect that. The last thing I want to do is talk somebody into doing that, into spilling their guts on my show. I'm not interested in trying to convince somebody to come on the show. So it almost more surprises me when somebody says they do want to.
Right.
To me, that's a gift. When somebody says, I'll come on and talk about X, or I'll come on and talk about whatever you want to talk about. That's awesome. Mm-hmm. To me. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And there's, I was just thinking back to the meetup. I know there's a couple of folks I was kind of joking with you about, pointing out to this person or that person would be a good guest for your future show. And there is possibly like that, I don't know, thinking back on it now, I feel a bit of that apprehension of like somebody telling me to talk to this person now and put you on the spot, I guess, of like, you now have to decide and evaluate whether this person would be on your show or whatever. I don't know where I was going with that.
It's interesting. There's a spectrum of whether how good a person is as a candidate for a guest on my show. From somebody like Kate Daly, who I connected with instantly. She's opinionated. She wants to talk on the podcast. We nailed a topic. The topic was, you know, pregnant with opportunity, so to speak. That was the episode on birth control. Sometimes my husband will come to me and say, oh, you should interview so-and-so, or so-and-so said they want to be on your podcast. And I'm like, did they give you a topic they wanted to talk about? And he's like, no. And I'm like, what would I talk to them about? I don't know them. And, you know, I don't know. It's really hard. Finding the right guest and the right topic is the hard part of my podcast, for sure. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and it's interesting. So you've got, like I said, 8 episodes mm-hmm. out, one being the pilot. And I just wanted to, like, that's something that you were one of the, I don't know that the first, but anyways, one of the, at the beginning stages of Good Stuff, one of the people who came to us, or I poked and prodded you to try and explore the idea anyways of doing a podcast, and mm-hmm. you're a bit of the guinea pig as far as getting launching a new show and the whole process of us onboarding somebody or whatever the technical term is, but bringing someone. And that was I don't remember if it was something you thought of doing or we suggested to you exactly. It's certainly something we're doing going forward, as far as having a pilot episode of some sort in a similar way to like TV shows, pitch a show or whatever to a network. But just talk to me a bit about so you chose in what you did, and it was kind of like your pitch / pilot was kind of just laying out the vision for the show, right?
Right. So I did a pitch, which is not a pilot, published. I guess, yeah. I did both.
Oh, right. Yeah. Sorry.
Right. So I did a pitch back about 4 months ago, maybe 5 months ago. And I used music I can't use on the show.
Right, licensing.
Let's talk about music later. Okay. So that was just, I mean, it was for the core decision makers of the network to say, yes, go ahead. You know, your mic's tolerable and your speaking voice doesn't make me want to rip my ears off and your topic sounds interesting. And I just sort of laid out in a very boring way what my topics would be. And you guys thought it was great. So then I recorded a pilot, which basically did the same thing again, but for a more general audience. And it was, you know, production quality, I guess. And that's my episode one.
Right. And that's it's something we've been at, just to go a little bit behind the scenes or whatever, as far mm-hmm. as with Good Stuff, it's something we've been sort of debating and struggling with and, you know, figuring out what the best approach is. Cause obviously, you know, especially in a scenario where, like with you, where you've never done a podcast. Well, sorry, we have done a podcast. You and I did a podcast before.
Well, but you did all the hard work for it. I just showed up.
And right. Those are the good old days. which we did a parenting podcast that ran about 10 episodes, I think. But so that's, I guess there was a bit of a vest or a knowledge ahead of time that I knew you would at least know how to talk into a microphone and engage and use Skype. And like, because there's so many aspects to, and maybe this is sort of the an under sort of topic, I guess, for this show of just like starting into podcasting. Because there's the technical stuff, there's the, you know, ability to conduct an interview and just talk with somebody, whether it's interview or discussion, and then just publishing in it and all the technical stuff that goes along with that side of it. So, like, yeah.
Yeah.
And that's where I think doing a pilot/pitch thing somewhere, whatever way terminology we end up settling on, is kind of ideal because it's kind of like a little test in a way mm-hmm. That mm-hmm. rather than just writing up something, which we also do for Good Stuff, it's just like a rough sort of outline of what you hope to do and, you know, talking a bit of numbers and dollars and stuff like that, but also show us that you can do this too. Like that's almost a requirement too, I guess. So.
Yeah. And for me, recording the pitch, I thought was a good choice because it did give me a chance to like hook up my mic and get Audacity running and play around with levels after recording and things like that. Gave myself confidence that I could execute on my plan.
And you had, when you did launch your episode one, the plot for your show. And then you actually had, sort of in quick succession, two episodes sort of right after that, which, just talk to me a bit about like the sort of common, known thing with podcasting is like, just, you know, start it and get on a regular weekly schedule. It has to be weekly. It has to be this, it has to be that, in order to be mm-hmm. successful or whatever. And so mm-hmm. you had, I'm trying to do the math here, but within 2 weeks, anyways, three episodes out the door, basically give or take.
Yeah. Right.
And so talk to me a bit about just how that helped you get the show going. And then I can talk, I guess, on the Good Stuff side, what that meant, but.
So that was kind of by accident. That wasn't by plan. I knew that I didn't want to dilly-dally between putting out the pilot and getting my first interview out because you need sort of rhythm and momentum. So two people quickly stepped up and said they would do an interview. So that just kind of happened. It was also, so podcasting isn't my only hobby. I have two full-time jobs and one of them is parenting, but yeah. And then I also play soccer, which takes on average two evenings a week. So podcasting, and I won't miss a soccer game to do podcasting. That's not my order of priorities. What? Sorry.
Wait.
I know.
Show's done.
So I was in between soccer seasons at the time. So I had more free evenings to record and to edit. And so I just decided, well, while I'm in this sort of downtime in my personal life, let's just get as much done as we can. So I put them out as quick as I could. So that worked out. It slowed down in the last month. I just don't have free time. So I won't be the weekly podcaster, but I'm okay with that. And if I'm, and if you guys aren't okay with that, you can fire me anytime. I dare ya. So, I mean, for me, I don't intend podcasting to become my career. It is my hobby. And I think I've been upfront with you guys about that. And I will keep putting out podcasts regularly, but it, for me, it's not going to be on a weekly rhythm for sure. Sometimes it'll be two in a week.
Yeah.
A lot of time it won't be one in a week.
Yeah. And that's where I know from the Good Stuff Broadcast Network standpoint, there is some sense of an ideal sort of podcasty thing, mantra of like consistency is the standard or whatever, and we need to do this every week. And that I'm of the opinion, and the founders, owners, whatever, I think we all have a slightly different spins on the same idea. I'm of the opinion of whatever you set your show out to be, just follow through with that. So if it's a biweekly, if it's a bit scattered, and but it is like, because you don't record live, I guess, first of all, so there's no like date that people need to show up to be there for or whatever.
Well, and I think if you're the kind of person who, if you don't put one out every week, it really is going to fall off your plate and you'll never come back to it, then you need to do it every week. Mm-hmm. I'm not that kind of person. Things stay on my plate a long time if they need to be.
You just keep reheating the plate.
Well, no, or I'll put it in the fridge or the freezer. Right. And when it's ready, when I have the time to eat it, I will eat it.
Metaphors.
Weird metaphors.
Now you're just thinking about supper. And I think the other nice thing about what your show has going for it in that regard is that it's fairly timeless in terms of, I mean, not centuries timeless maybe, but certainly, you know, there's nothing, it's not like some Apple News show or whatever, any of that kind of stuff that is common in podcasting where if you don't listen to it this week, then you might as well, you know.
Right. You can go back and listen to them, and we may have a few, you know, cultural references that are timely, but not so much that you won't get the show. And you know what? And I think there is, I mean, I probably pay a bit of a price for not putting things out every week. There will be some people, some listeners who will drop off. Although I think I have quite a few iTunes subscribers, which to them, it doesn't really matter what day it shows up. I am not serial. Nobody is chomping at the bit to hear my next episode. It's not like it's addictive. I think whenever it shows up in their iTunes, they listen. And I really sincerely doubt that anybody is looking at their watch going, when's the next I Guess We're Grown-Ups coming out?
Yeah. And that's always the thing I've sort of pushed back on too, with that idea of it being a weekly thing. And I think you hit the nail on the head where it's as much for the podcaster themselves to do it weekly in order to just keep doing it, because eventually it becomes 2 weeks and then 3 weeks and then 4 weeks and then pretty soon it's just done.
Right.
And there's no closure too for the listeners that are there, and it just kind of sits there because you do have to go out of your way to unsubscribe from a podcast. And in general, for me, I know, and each person's obviously different, but the more often the reason I would unsubscribe from a podcast is because they put out too many shows. So behind and I feel guilty that I'm not listening, or I'll just mark them as listened and then just to catch up or something like that. And so, a quality show that's interesting to people, like we said, especially something like yours. And so going back to what I started that original discussion with, you happen to release those three episodes in fairly quick order. And on top of that, we actually happen to get featured, your podcast and a couple other podcasts got featured in iTunes as well.
Yeah.
And no warning or whatever, as most people have found out, like with iTunes, it kind of just happens. And so, which then gave, we were kind of all preparing for, you know, a couple, 50, 100 people might listen and, you know.
Oh, I would have been delighted with 50 people listening to my pilot episode. So when it clicked over 1,000, I fell out of my chair.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so even then, so just again, for podcasters who don't know, and maybe you're thinking about starting something like this, like you kind of have to have set your expectations low to start, because especially starting out fresh, new, even on something like a network like Good Stuff, there's a bit of a bubble that, or what's the word, halo effect, or, you know, where other listeners of other shows already will give you a chance just because you're already, they associate you with this network and stuff like that. And so, but yeah, to have that, and even getting featured in iTunes sometimes is still just like a nice 200 listener bump, right? Like that's
right.
Has happened like, to us before in Good Stuff where a show
the
gets,
second time Good Stuff got featured, I saw no bump at all.
Yeah, like because as a, when your show was featured alone, big bump. When the whole network was featured, and admittedly, I think your show was on the tail end or people had to scroll to see it.
Yeah,
right?
To scroll to see it. Yeah.
Yeah. Because, but with, and then we were featured, that was on the homepage, like I think I've talked about on the show, homepage of iTunes or the podcast section of iTunes, anyways, which saw, you know, some shows huge increase, obviously, and generally, obviously, the more closer you were to the left, not scrolling, I think probably is the what happened. Artwork tended to be a big help there, too, it seemed like.
Yeah.
Talk to me about your artwork.
Okay. So, my artwork. Is a line drawing of a male deer with antlers. And the concept for it was I needed something adult. And I didn't want a martini glass because that's cliche. And it doesn't, I mean, it sort of pegs you as a drinking show. And while I love the alcohol, I don't think all of my listeners necessarily do. And I want to be sensitive to that. And I don't think, yeah, I want to do an episode on vices, but, anyway, so I wanted something like what's adult, like what's a symbol of adulthood? And I just came across the thought of, well, an adult deer has antlers and so it's a sign of maturity. So I like Googled for pictures of deer and found that one that I like, printed it out. Went high contrast and outline in Photoshop, printed it out, traced it, took a picture of it, imported it into Photoshop, touched it up, added the title, voila, artwork. Like I literally held it up to a window and like the printout of the outlined photograph and traced it onto a new piece of paper and took a picture with my cell phone. It was crazy. It was best artwork ever, completely unprofessional. But I think I've never seen another piece of artwork like that in iTunes. Not that I troll at iTunes a ton, but I think it does stand out. There's something organic and friendly about it. And I think there's a wildlife trend right now. People are into foxes and antlers and stuff like that. So I think it, you know, touches some of that. I don't know. It's not very professional looking when you look at it up close. The typeface is horrible. But whatever.
Yeah.
It's catchy.
Which the like conventional, like, well, especially even us Good Stuff, we're like, oh, well, that's placeholder, you know,
right.
We'll, of course, you know, we won't tell Carrie no, but, you know, she'll need to get some professional artwork. And like you said, like, certainly we could.
And I agreed.
Yeah, exactly.
I was like, yeah, like, whenever you guys want to fork over the money to Jory for artwork, like, replace it.
Yeah.
But now it would have to have a deer with antlers in it.
Yeah, and there's certainly, like, you could make an argument, I would think from a design perspective, there's elements that we could improve on, but keeping the original spirit of it and all that kind of stuff and whatever.
Yeah.
That's,
oh yeah.
We haven't had those discussions, but
it's obvious to everybody looking at it. Yes.
But I think that's the thing that's, and it's a, cause we would have said, we probably did, like I said, you know, that's placeholder, you know, by episode two or three, once we know you're going, then we'll, you know, cause you're not, it's not going to get the audience cause they're just going to, not going to want to click on it. And then of course, right away is like, holy crap, she's got more audience than anybody else does, you know, over the last month or something.
Like, yeah. Yeah. That was kind of awesome.
Yeah. It was a good little, I guess not a told you so moment, but just a funny.
Oh, there's been so many of things like that. Like the way people slagged my Blue Yeti microphone and my Windows operating system and all of those things. It's like, well, you know what? Screw you.
Because you are swimming upstream in a sense with a few things. And yeah. Not like, I mean, the Blue Yeti thing is an ongoing I think it's still a joke. I don't know. Tim, for Tim, it probably isn't a joke, but the rest of us.
Well, and for me, it's a joke and also not a joke too. Like, I'm not oblivious to audio issues, and if I can get a better microphone, maybe I will. But yeah, but it's also a joke.
Yeah. Okay. I just want to pause for a sponsor break, and then we'll come back to discussing a bit of the podcasting gear and stuff like we were talking about, and also, just some more of the, swimming upstream is a bad analogy. I've got terrible analogies and metaphors today. I shouldn't be trying to do anything.
We'll talk about swimming. Yeah. Swimming upstream is true.
So, for this episode, our sponsor is once again is Campaign Monitor, and what they do, you are probably familiar with if you're familiar with this show, but they do amazing, easy to design, easy to send out newsletters, and we happen to use it here, the service here at goodstuff.fm/newsletter. You can sign up for it. Sends out usually weekly, and just a great little summary of what's going on Good Stuff. Podcasts of notes, listener highlights, and things like that. I put together the newsletter, and their service and the template builder that they have called Canvas makes it super easy to get that out the door. I'm often leaving it till the last minute and thinking it's going to take me a long time to put it together. And admittedly, grabbing content and stuff and writing stuff is probably the hardest part. Designing and building the newsletter is easy and really simple with their template builder. So you can check out canvas.cm. to check out a video of the template builder, or visit campaignmonitor.com to get started today. Their iOS app has been updated for iOS 8 and iPhone 6 and 6 Plus. It looks great on my iPhone 6, and you can sort of check out subscriptions and people who unsubscribe, hopefully not too many, and check out stats on recent sends of campaigns. So our thanks to Campaign Monitor for supporting Good Stuff and Show Me Your Mic. So, yeah, talk about swimming upstream. The joking one is obviously we talk about the mic and using Windows in a predominantly, I want to say almost everybody else maybe is Mac. I don't know if I can say that definitively. Certainly not all the guests, obviously, or whatever. But and even right. Within, and maybe it's just because it's my circles of podcasting, there tends to be a pretty like heavy slant towards Mac users versus Windows users. So. You're obviously like you're able to produce podcasts on a Windows.
No.
You have a secret Mac.
I go ask my kids to let me use their Macs, and yeah. No, it's a Windows machine.
Yeah.
So I'm on Windows, and I use Audacity for editing post production because it's free and because work approves to have it installed on my machine. I use a program called MP3 Skype Recorder 4.6 to record the Skype interviews. Obviously, I'm using Skype to talk to people. And MP3 Skype Recorder is one that actually you, Chris, recommended to me when 15 minutes before my first interview, I'm like, and how do I record this? So thanks for that.
I didn't even remember doing that. That's good. Because I was just going to ask you where you heard about that software, actually.
I think you Googled it for me.
Right. Oh, Google. Yeah.
I know. there's this website with a field, and you type things into it, and it tells you where it is. Yeah, I think that's about all I use software-wise.
And then you have a Blue Yeti, like you said.
I have a Blue Yeti. And I have a boom stand that it's on.
Whatever.
Yeah.
And you've used, I know on one episode, you had tried using it in-person interview on it. I think it was episode 6. Yeah, 20,000 people laughing.
Yeah. Yeah, so that was in-person. And I did no extensive testing before. My office, I have a home office that I do all my recording in. And it's not great. It's all hard surfaces. but I love my office, so whatever. It's again, priorities. So my friend Todd Peters came over for the conversation that we recorded for the podcast. And I just stuck the mic on the desk in between us in the Blue Yeti stand. Actually, I used the stand for that recording. And then I didn't really do a test where I listened to how we were sounding, and it was pretty bad. But the conversation was really good, so I put it out anyway. But next time, I think I would get another mic or borrow a mic from somebody or something like that if I was going to do another in-person interview. Yeah.
Yeah, because I don't know, looking around my room where I record, it's a fairly like generic flat, hard floors, hard walls, you know, obviously the walls are, there's not a lot on the walls. And I often wonder about what the sound would be, because it doesn't feel like it influences the room, but certainly in a situation like you were describing where you've got two people talking into one mic planted between you, there's a lot more things going on.
Turn the gain way up and you're moving around in your chairs and somebody opens the garage door and it was a noisy episode.
Right. And yeah, there is only so much you can do when you have obviously one mic. There's a setting on the Yeti, right? For like, it has the settings for doing like, cause it could, it's not that the Yeti is terrible at that. You could actually use it in a room. Obviously, you know, like you said, a bit more better acoustics maybe would help.
Well, and that. I think being closer to the mic would have helped. Like Todd and I are friends, but we're not good friends.
Right.
So we did sit a couple feet away from each other. Well, probably each a couple feet away from the mic. So the Yeti has this switch on the back of it that controls the pattern that it's supposedly the field of audio that it's picking up. So I did change it from the cardioid, which is what I use normally for just one person talking into it, into the figure eight or whatever it is, where it's looking for two fields from the front and the back of the microphone. And so I did use that for that recording. Yeah. Right. But I think it would have been better. It's designed for two people standing like each, you know, 6 inches from the mic, not leaning back in their chair and moving backward and forward. And
mm-hmm. Yeah. Which makes an editing nightmare too for yourself after that.
Yeah.
So, which is one of those things where you learn, like that's what's obviously.
Well, right.
Happen. Yeah.
Yeah. If you don't try it, you never learn. And mm-hmm. I wasn't going to throw it out. It was decent. So.
Well, and this tendency for some folks, especially, I don't know, I find anyways, a lot of tech nerd folks is they get so worried that it won't go well or they need to know everything in advance that then hinders them from actually ever recording that. Like, some people, like myself, sometimes I know I wouldn't have even booked Todd until I had like planned to do all this stuff. But then I probably wouldn't end up ever having time to do all this stuff to test and prepare the mic and, you know, because as if I'm just going to call it, like use one of my kids, I guess I could have done or whatever to test the recording with. But yeah.
So we are now doing an episode of I Guess We're Grownups Now, because for me, the perfectionist, I won't do that till I know I can do it perfectly thing went away. As an adult, like when I was about 32 or 3, I'm like, I'll just try it. And if I screw it up, who cares? Like, really, who is going to judge me for that? I mean, don't listen if you hate it, but that affects me zero.
Right.
So, yeah, I think I struggle with those hesitations as well. But I think you reach a certain level of maturity or just the desire to create. Like, you can stop yourselves a lot of ways, but there's only one way to do something, and that's just to do it. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah, that's, I think, I've had a lot of false starts, and I'm sure lots of other podcasters or people who have attempted podcasting have done that, where you record the thing, you listen to the thing, you delete it, you record it again, delete it. And don't even bother listening. You record it again and then you spend 2 hours and then you delete it all and you go away frustrated because you're like, I'm stupid. I sound stupid. I can't talk or whatever. You know, I sound like garbage. The mic is bad and I don't have that fancy blue Yeti like Carrie does or whatever the case may be. And then it just sits and then you come back to it a month later. And yeah, I've done that a million times with stuff. And it is like something... I don't know if it's maturity or experience, which I guess go hand in hand, but something clicked where even like to the point of doing Daily-ish, which is my, you know, just audio journal of myself talking, I could have never done that 3 or 4 years ago. I would have died of stupidity and embarrassment or whatever before I would have published an episode.
Right.
And now...
And how many people have publicly laughed at you for doing that, for doing Daily-ish?
Two.
Okay. So out of a few dozen, that's not bad.
Yeah.
It's still worth it, right?
Of the hundreds or so people who download it, it's like a 2% feedback rate of laughter. It's fine. I can handle that.
Exactly.
And there's part of it too, I think, without going too far down the, I guess, for grown-ups podcast topic, we can save that for if I'm ever allowed to come on your show. But that idea, I think having kids too helps. Like you see, and we've talked about Survivor. We're both Survivor fans. And you see like parents are on different reality shows of like, I just want to show my kid that you can, you know, push through and anything's possible. And I, you know, before, even before my kids were a certain age, I think it was kind of like, that's kind of hokey, like just do it or whatever. But then now my kids are old enough to sort of be observing me in situations and are aware of that kind of stuff. And it, you know, definitely does affect you. It affects me anyway.
Yeah. I've alluded to playing soccer a few times, but for me, that was a big part of it. Like there's a very public way to do something you're terrible at, but do it with dedication and repeatedly, and your kids see it and your kids know that you lose and you win and you get hurt, and you score, and you know, all of these good things come from just doing it. Mm-hmm. And maybe they'll try stuff that they're not good at too.
So have your kids ever listened, bring it back to podcasting, have your kids ever listened to your podcast?
No.
And do you listen with your partner, husband in...
My husband.
around?
The first couple, he would start playing it back with me in the room. Usually by the time I publish it and then make sure that it's, you know, gone up onto the website correctly, I'm sick of hearing it. I've listened to it 3 or 4 or maybe 5 times end to end. And so I don't listen to it again. Mark will sometimes listen to it through the speakers. I don't think he's listened to all the episodes.
So you're not, I think I still have pinned to my top of my Twitter page of like a little tip. If you want me to leave a room, just start playing a podcast that I'm on and I will vacate the premises, you know, fairly quickly. And it's not even like I was talking about before. I can listen to myself. I edit the podcast. It's listening. And I know that, you know, hundreds of people download this show and other shows we do and stuff. That, so I know there's hundreds of people out there hearing this thing, but in real life, having to sit there while I'm talking, and even remembering some of the stupid things I say or attempts to be smart or whatever with another person in the room and having to hear their reaction or see or non-reaction or I don't know. Yeah.
Although, you know, what's been fun is you and I will do this where we are sincere podcast nerds. If you're listening to a recording I've done earlier, you'll like instant message stuff to me. We're on Slack. And so you'll Slack highlights to me as you're listening. We call it zombie tweeting. This is for the fans out there. So Chris and I zombie tweet on Slack, not on Twitter, each other's podcasts back to each other. And that's kind of fun, like to see what the other person sort of laughs at or thinks is clever or whatever, but not have to listen to your voice again.
And see, that's, I would totally like, if like say Sue, my wife, is listening, I would totally dig like feedback that way, or a friend or whoever, like,
right,
an email or a text or whatever that way, and which I love. That's why it's fun to do. And knowing obviously a little inside baseball and stuff with related to people we know or whatever and things like that. It's just kind of fun to poke fun or laugh or whatever at things that are said that other people might not get and things like that. But yeah, it's the, yeah, in person, like the idea of I could handle doing on stage, say live, you know, podcasts sometimes do live events. Mm-hmm. I can handle doing like a live, whatever, intellectual radio program or something like that in a small little pub or something. But the idea of sitting with all those same people and listening back to a podcast would be terrifying. Like I would not attend. I would come down with some sickness, I think, before I would let that happen. Which would that, this is just kind of interesting discussion, but like, would that scenario terrify you or would you be fine either way?
I don't like doing a conversation, a recording in a public place.
Yeah.
No, like where it's amplified, not a whole conversation. I would do an interview in a public place. Like actually, I would like some time to do a podcast where I go around and get more like what a reporter does, where you get like snippets of people. Yeah. That kind of thing interests me. But the whole, like, let's sit down and have a conversation in front of a group of people idea, blah, I don't know. Yeah. It's funny how you can just make a subtle difference, like on the internet versus in a bar. And it's like totally different. Live to air versus recorded.
Well, like I think I've told you too with this show, or Show Me Your Mic, especially, I forgot which show we're talking. But, you know, the idea that I would talk to a complete stranger, like you're not a complete stranger, obviously, but most of the other episodes are complete strangers who I've never talked to before.
Yeah.
That idea is completely foreign to my in real world, you know, real life friends. Like they've told me too, like when they don't listen to a lot of this show, especially because they're not into podcasting, but the idea that I would just call up some stranger, you know, from Israel or from the United States or wherever they happen to be and talk for an hour is like completely, they just can't picture me as a person doing that, you know?
Right. It's out of character for
you. Yeah. Which is just whatever. Now we've gone, we should have just done like a cross-posted episode or something to save you, get you an episode. So the other thing I wanted to talk about is the whole swimming upstream idea.
Oh, yeah. The reverse escalator. Yeah.
Wait, which analogy are we, which metaphor? No, of being a woman in podcasting.
Mm-hmm.
And
so I think that it's a bit, so being a woman in podcasting, every once in a while you see people wringing their hands about where the women in whatever or where the visible minorities in whatever. I think women in podcasting, the hand-wringing there should be about women in tech podcasting. And even then, I think if you're asking yourself that question in 2014, it's probably just that you're not paying attention to the right things. Because there are women in tech podcasting doing good podcasts. And I'm not in tech podcasting. But I think the podcasting circles that good stuff tends to be in, perhaps there is a bit of an upstream swim for women in it. Not a lot of women doing it. You see guys intentionally or maybe lack of intention making new podcasts all the time and not having a woman co-host. It's like, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know, but there are good podcasts out there with women talking about tech things. That one, Overtired, I was looking at the other day. I need to start listening to that. That looks really interesting. They're there. You might have to dig because the numbers are lower, but there's not zero.
Yeah. And that's, I think maybe it's including it in the other sort of swimming upstream ideas was maybe a wrong theme.
Well, No, I think it's fair. I think there's some barriers as far as it's technical to get your mic set up and to get all the software set up. And so there tends to be an attitude both amongst women and amongst men that women won't be as inclined to do it because of those things. I think I would like, if there are any women listening who are thinking about doing a podcast, but thinking it would be too hard. It's not. I mean, yes, there are things, but like cooking a Thanksgiving dinner is harder than setting up your first podcast. And the guys don't actually know any more than you do. So yeah, it's not, you don't need special training to set up your own podcast.
No, exactly. And that's, I think that's something, and you probably feel it. I don't know if I have the right, I'm not to put it in your.
Just say what you're going to say.
No, I just mean like, I'm trying to figure out what I'm going to say because you sort of feel it more because you're involved with this network where it is primarily dudes that are doing it. Whereas if you just put out your show on its own and did a podcast on its own, it's not like you would as acutely feel that tension maybe or whatever being a lone woman in the midst of a bunch of guys doing podcasts or something. I mean, you can look at iTunes and see artwork and generalize about what and who is doing what, but certainly it wouldn't be on a network like we have.
It
amplifies it in a sense, I guess, but
yeah, in a way.
Yeah.
Yeah. All the people I have to turn to for advice are guys.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's where like, I've put out the call many times too to like, because with Show Me Your Mic, I guess I feel like I make it clear, but I know there's new listeners all the time. But I anybody can book on this show as long as you have 5 or 6, 10 episodes or whatever. And there's a link in the goodstuff.fm/smym, top of the page of each episode, for where you can book in and schedule an appearance on the show. And that's how we're, I would say I've been blessed with, I don't know, of this is actually episode 60, but of the 60 episodes, maybe I've had to book 20 myself. Definitely the first 20 or so I had to hustle out and convince people to come on this dumb new show. And so there's an open call, obviously, and I've intentionally tried to encourage women to come forward and sought out women to be on the show. Cause I agree. Like, I think there's definitely more out there than what the vibe or the feeling is that there isn't.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think you're also battling the fact that most women doing podcasting are also doing, like myself, 8 other things in their life. And they're not really looking for another platform, especially if they're being invited because they're women. Mm-hmm. And that admittedly may be counterproductive, although it's quite likely that their goal isn't necessarily more exposure. So I do keep my eyes out for you, for Show Me Your Mic, in case I notice there are female podcasters out there who I think you might be interested in interviewing for your show. And the other day I noticed one, it's a podcast called Métis in Space that's put on by 2 Indigenous Aboriginal women here in Canada. And they review movies and TV shows where episodes feature Indigenous people. And they critique it. They sort of watch the show and make snarky and or serious remarks about how the Aboriginal people are being portrayed in the media. And I've listened to an episode or two and they're really good. Mm-hmm. And I think I said, oh, you should contact these people. And you're like, yeah, I will. And
well, no, I was legitimately... in the context of the conversation, we were talking about the fact of trying to find, I think prior to that, trying to find some more women to be on the show to highlight and whatever. And I had just finished doing it, I think, or contacting a couple of women like the day before or something like that. And that was where you were kind of teasing me that as if I hadn't been trying or something like that, I think.
Well, right. And you don't run by every time you ask somebody. You don't say, hey, Carrie, I just asked 3 more women to be on Show Me Your Mic. So sometimes when I go, here's a woman you could interview, and you go, yeah, I'm booked till January. And I'm like, come on, try harder, because I wish you, because you're a good guy. And you kind of snapped at me, which in retrospect, fair enough. And, I'm like, fine, if you're not going to just fit them in when I say so. Yeah. So anyway, it's kind of a funny moment, but, about a few days later, they posted on Twitter, remarks aimed at academics who, want to sort of use them in their academic research, or journalists who want to use them as examples of Aboriginal people in the media, saying like, you can't just demand our time. We won't do your work for you. And we're not interested in doing anything for free. And I'm like, so I quickly send you these tweets and I'm like, oh, maybe don't ask these women right now. Like, So I think a lot of women in all areas, like women in tech, feel this too, where there's this burden that you've got your real job of whatever your job is, but you also are expected to speak for all women or be present for recruiting or put on women in technology events or, you know, interview as a woman podcaster. And that can be exhausting and draining, especially if there is any sort of confrontation or having to prove that there is a women in X problem again and again and again. Like, we get sick and tired of that, and it's emotionally draining. And so I think what you may get as far as putting the call out, you know, can I interview women podcasters, is, oh, another thing, you know. Mm-hmm. And you're not primarily asking me because you think the topic of my podcast is interesting. It's because I'm a woman. Like, So, I mean, it's a vicious cycle that there's no great answer to, but yeah, I feel for you, which is why I help you.
Right. Because it does lend itself to a bit of that sort of damned if you do, damned if you don't feeling.
Right.
Which is not like I can handle that feeling. That's not, oh, woe is me. So, but because it legitimately, like, and the one, like the Métis in space that you had sent was like, I listened to the episode. I was like, this is awesome. They're hilarious. They'd be awesome to talk with about, you know, just a podcast, like, and genuinely curious about.
There's
all the other things, obviously, that are interesting. But to me, it's like, well, I'm a podcast show. I want to talk to podcasters. And I have, to be honest, like the greatest issue is not so much guys or girls. It's that tech podcasts are the podcasters who want to come on. And that's like, that's awesome. And I'm still just as curious about them. But I know that there's a whole other world of discussions going on. And there has not that it's all been tech podcasters, but that's just, you know, who is in this space aware that they could go out and seek to be on a show, for example, and they're not just sort of in a bit of a vacuum or whatever of their own little siloed podcast world. Like, they're very aware of what all the podcast networks are and things like that. And so they seek those opportunities out, like you said, and guy or girl, but generally happens to be guys that kind of tend to do that. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Whatever. It'll be fine.
Well, and I appreciate that you're open to it and interested in interviewing women, specifically giving women a platform who might not necessarily know that there is a platform available. I think that's, for me, when I am thinking about my life as a podcaster, and if there is sort of any upstream swimming, it's nice to know that there are people who are willing to, you know, give you a boost, as opposed to people who deny that there's a problem at all. And I think there are fields of podcasting where there isn't a problem. It's possible that, you know, comedy podcasting is well represented with women. I don't actually know.
Right. Yeah. Whatever the science.
Cooking podcasting, I'm sure, has lots of women involved in it. Like, you know, and I think there's mom podcasts and things like that. And yeah. The tech podcasting, especially. Sorry, I keep interrupting.
No, that's good.
Yeah, I'm done.
But yeah, there's the, and yeah, we at Good Stuff, certainly as a network, we're trying to get out of that sort of silo or bubble of the only kind of podcast can be a tech podcast. That's because that's what we've, you know, we listen to maybe or whatever. A lot of the folks, founders anyways, listen to those kind of shows or businessy podcasts or whatever, which are all great, or not, well, they're not all great, there's some really crappy ones, but the idea of doing that is not a terrible idea. But just kind of like, okay, we've been in this phase now for a year at Good Stuff, and we've been listening to podcasts. I've been listening to podcasts for 5 or whatever years it's been. Maybe it's time to just explore and see what else is out there. And you don't always, in my case, I'm not always so keen to hear why someone loves or hates the new Apple mouse as it, you know, enthusiastically as I was the first 2,000 times or whatever. So,
well, and I think the great thing about a podcast network is that really there doesn't have to be a theme to your shows. It's not like you listen to one right after another. Usually, you can find themes, and I think I Guess We're Grownups Now fits all right in with the other podcasts. I mean, that are on Good Stuff.
Yeah, exactly. I think that's where that's what I'm really excited about. If I can put my Good Stuff owner, founder, whatever hat on, is just that there's, you know, there's connecting points between all of them. You know, you could draw a line from your show to say Garth's Web Friends, maybe where he's talking about life with these creative folks in a little bit more of an interview style, but there's obviously tech relations there or tech interests as well. But then from that, maybe to the East Wing, where Tim's talking to folks on a designy creative bent, it's, you know, similar idea, and yeah, everything in between, that we, the daily kind of journaly shows and stuff like that. So
yeah, and my next episode or episodes is a conversation with Adam Clark, and I think it is going to touch on a lot of the things that he talks about on The Gently Mad and that he talks about on TERP, and but it will introduce it to quite likely a different audience, that being I Guess We're Grownups audience. So, and it was completely relevant. The conversation is completely relevant to the I Guess We're Grownups Now themes. So yeah. I mean, I'm not going to turn into a podcast where I just interview other people on Good Stuff.
But bringing back to podcasting, there's an ongoing, like, hopefully you don't pay attention to any of this really, and you just do your podcast, whoever you are that's listening right now. But there's every so often there's the discussion of, are podcast networks a good thing for podcasts or not? And it requires a lot of hand-wringing and blog posts and medium.com articles and things. And we, like, you could say it's a terrible time to have a podcast network or a great time. And I don't really know. We're just doing what we do. And we didn't set out with, like, trying to tap into some market synergy, whatever thing.
Zeitgeist
thing, yeah, to jump on and ride this podcasting network wave or anything like that. It was just kind of like, this will be easier to do with people that we do it with and rather than going solo. And so that was the main goal initially anyway. So, but I forget where my point was. Go good stuff, I guess.
Yeah.
where it lands. So I guess end that discussion with the idea, if you have a podcast, if I haven't made it clear, I'd love to talk to you. Link will be in the show notes, goodstuff.fm/smym. And I tweet it out occasionally from the Twitter account, twitter.com. What am I doing? At smym_fm is the Show Me Your Mic Twitter account. I think we've talked about your gear, what you do. A new thing I'm doing is posting a picture of the podcaster's sort of home studio or whatever kind of setup. So if you can, at some point in the next little while, take a nice picture, and you don't have to clean up the room, but just whatever.
I'm mid renovation, so you'll get what you get.
Yeah. And that'll be on the episode 60 with Carrie. But what I do want to, I always end the show with, is just hearing some podcasts that you listen to, and then also apps or whatever that you listen to them on. So, I don't know if you have your podcast playing device of choice handy.
I almost always listen at my desk while I'm working or after hours while I'm web browsing. So it's almost always off of the web browser.
Interesting.
I don't have an app that I don't commute. And when I'm out and about, I'm usually paying attention to other things. So I don't have a way, I don't have mobile listening time. So mostly I'm just.
Sorry, I was just saying, you don't even you don't subscribe to a show per se. You just go visit.
Yeah, that's right.
You're like the worst possible listener.
Thank you.
Just kidding.
No, it's true. And I miss out, if the podcast has a Twitter feed, I'll follow it to get, if I really want every episode.
Right.
But yeah, I don't subscribe to anything. I am a bad, bad listener. But so I'm listening through, Chrome or whatever.
So then I can't really trust which podcast you listen to, because how do you even... No, I'm just kidding.
I don't even know. How do I even know? Well, it's not a hugely long list. I'm not a big podcast listener. My work isn't very conducive to you simultaneously listening to podcasts. The first podcast I really listened to with any sort of dedication was Back to Work. I love Merlin. Hi, Merlin. and I listened to you. You Look Nice Today as well. I mean, I realize that predates Back to Work, but I went back and listened to You Look Nice Today, which was very funny. Mm-hmm. I listened to Terp and Dailyish and Show Me Your Mic occasionally. I get picky and choosy with whether I listen to Show Me Your Mic based on the guest. If it's a woman, I'll listen. So there's that.
There we go. So you get an extra listener. That's like extra motivation.
Exactly.
Thanks for that little plug, by the way. That's I'll give you your money later.
Oh yeah. Anytime.
Yeah.
It's okay. Kyle's getting all the money. You can cut that.
It's okay.
Like the rest of the planet, I'm listening to Serial, and I do not think that Adnan is guilty, but that often changes between 3 or 4 times an episode. I listened to Sawbones, which is a hilarious episode. It's a hilarious podcast about medicine. It's a husband and wife co-hosts who are doctors, Sydney and Justin McElroy. And they're both medical doctors, and they will pick a topic and do a medical history of that topic. So they'll talk about gout, or they'll talk about allergies, or they'll talk about immunizations or whatever, blindness or leprosy. And they'll talk about medical history. It's not about diagnosing anybody or whatever, but they'll talk
show or something. Yeah.
It's very much a rundown of what the history of this particular medical issue is. And Justin plays the funny guy and Sydney plays the straight man. And it's really entertaining to listen to. And I've listened to quite a few episodes of The Broad Experience with Ashley Milne-Tite, who you had on a few episodes ago. It's quite good and relevant to my life. There is an old podcast, that's now out of, they no longer record, but it was awesome. It was called Experts on Everything. And the two hosts were not only very smart, but also good looking.
Right, exactly. I couldn't agree more with that, actually.
Right. So Experts on Everything was Chris and Mai's.
Professional podcast.
That is the correct grammatical construction of that sentence.
Yeah.
A parenting podcast, which really was quite good, and we should do it again sometime.
Yeah, we've long hinted, teased, internally, I don't know if we've ever publicly teased it, but of just like a good stuff. There's a lot of parents or people who need parents or people who are hoping
to
be parents.
We have like 30 kids in the good stuff family or something like that. Garth has most of them.
Yeah, exactly. But hinting at some sort of show that should do something with all these people and the experiences they have. But someday.
Also, I listened to DNTO and Spark, which are CBC radio programs that also have podcast versions of them. I usually listen to them on the radio, though, but I think they count because they're sort of the storytelling style that I like in a podcast, in that style of podcast. DNTO is short for Definitely Not the Opera with Sukhi and Lee, and I think she's just creative and smart and whimsical and awesome. And Spark is more science related, I think.
They have a tech bent too. If you're like, there's, I know. Well, speaking of Merlin Mann, he's been on that on Spark a few times. Like they'll sort of bring in an expert or whatever on a topic and get them to talk about the thing. Yeah, there's both of those shows. I lean towards Spark more myself, but definitely like just great storytelling in about a topic, like as opposed to
a theme.
One person just talking about it and interviewing somebody and not really doing a great edit on it. It does a really good, she does, her and her team anyways do a great job.
And I think it's worth noting that things like Serial and DNTO are staffed.
Yeah,
they have people and budgets and so it's okay to like both kinds of podcasts, the mom and pop shop stuff that I do and the awesomeness that is Serial or DNTO or what happened.
Yeah, exactly. That's
we don't all have to do one or the other.
Yeah.
One is not dead just because the other one is thriving.
That's the other podcasting world debate.
Oh, straw man.
Good stuff. Networks versus individuals and heavily produced and like as if it's a one or a zero a bit.
Right. Or that one can't change into the other and Anyway.
That's a rant for another show.
A meta rant, because it would be ranting about all the rants.
Exactly. All right. Well, before we devolve or evolve into too many just Carrie and Chris chatting about stuff, we'll cut off the podcast anyways. Where can folks find you on the internets, Carrie?
So my podcast is at goodstuff.fm/grownups or grownups_FM on Twitter. And my personal Twitter account, which is probably the easiest place to find me, is at K-A-R-I, which I will spell for you, K-A-Y-A-Y-A-R-A-I.
Yeah.
Put a link in the show notes.
Yeah, exactly. I always love it when you say it's probably the easiest place to find me is, and then it's like this insane like number or letters and words that... Letters that
all rhyme
and kind of like it just jumbles together in your brain. I'm sure for some folks they hear it and they're like, oh yeah, I got it. And Chris, you're an idiot. But like every time you say it on a podcast, I'm like, I still don't know what it is.
I hate my handle so much.
Yeah. That'd be an episode for grownups. Picking your internet handle.
I think, okay, here's my genius podcast idea. It would be short episodes and it would be how you got your handle.
Right. Oh, yeah.
Really tiny episodes, like 5 to 10 minute interviews with somebody, just one person each episode, how you got your handle or who else, like tell me something interesting about your handle basically is what the show would be. That's my next podcast.
See, I'll give you a little teaser of that idea for me is the, on Facebook when they had their like get book your name, which this is an internet handle thing. This is just
vanity. No, URL. This is relevant to my podcast, my fictional podcast.
Exactly. Every podcaster has a new podcast coming soon. But I booked, you know, facebook.com/Chris Enns right away because I'm a nerd and just sitting at the computer, obviously. And then about like a month later, I got an email or Facebook message. It must have been a Facebook message from another Chris Enns somewhere in the States who was really angry, like really angry that I had taken it and was upset that I wasn't posting as much or whatever. I don't remember when this was exactly as far as privacy and stuff, but I'm sure I had private stuff that he wasn't seeing. But he was just angry that I had grabbed that and was, you know, kind of asking me to give it up or whatever. And I remember I replied, you know, nicely rather than just like, you know, ignoring or being a jerk, replied. And then he replied back saying, oh, okay, well, that's good. I'm glad. You know, it's like the typical internet thing of like rage, but then actually I'm not really that mad. Right. It just was like, I got all my aggression out in that one email and then I was okay. So anyway, I was kind of worried I was going to have a Chris Enns fight.
I was drunk when I sent it and I'm sober when I'm reading your response.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Nice. All right. Well, okay. Thanks, Carrie, for coming on. Show Me Your Mic. Finally, thanks. Episode 60. And my thanks to Campaign Monitor, of course, for sponsoring Good Stuff and Show Me Your Mic. I mentioned already the Twitter account, SMYM_FM. Speaking of bad Twitter handles, I can't really judge you too badly on that one. And Good Stuff_FM is the Good Stuff Twitter account, which you can follow. And I'll be back next week with another Show Me Your Mic. Thank you for listening. Have a great day.